drama to the silver screen, absolutely.
What I would say on that note is one of our other cinematographers, Fraser Loveman, he said to me the first night he shot with John, he said, the thing about John is no one has told him what to do and how to be, and as a result it makes him the best and easiest actor to work with, because he said whatever you ask him to do he will do it and he'll throw his heart into it. And I think that's how he's kind of ended up almost becoming our poster boy.
How did you manage to get into the Mall, or the Romford shopping centre? What is it called?
It's the Mercury Mall.
The Mercury Mall.
Yeah, and it sits sort of tagged onto the end of the Liberty in Romford.
I would imagine it's quite a scary place to be. I've worked in communications. We've wired up some of these malls, and as you go outside behind the shops, there's usually a load of corridors, they're nothing like what you see in the Mall, where they spend thousands and thousands of pounds doing them all up. The corridors are usually just concrete block and stairways. At night, I would imagine that's quite frightening in its own.
To be honest with you, the back areas aren't so frightening, but and being a DJ, you probably remember this. What is a little bit intimidating is on level 4, there's a nightclub that nobody knows exists because it's shut in 1999. That nightclub was called Pulse.
Yes.
And you walk in the door and it is left as it was in 1999, and we shot probably about 20 minutes of the film in Pulse. You've got, you know, bits of ceiling sort of falling away and disgusting looking toilets and whatever, but it was the most perfect location to build some suspense. It's a generally scary environment. The dust is in the air, picked up by the light. It was, you know, other films would pay an arm and a leg to get that look, and we ended up getting that for free like everything else.
And I didn't realise until I'd done some of the research, obviously because I haven't seen the film, it was filmed in one night. That's the amazing part about it, more or less.
Yeah, that isn't entirely true. What happened was the intention was we were to shoot it in one night, but I didn't realise I was working with such perfectionists. What I wanted to do was create an event. I ended up on the night really with four or five different camera operators. Some of them are local filmmakers like Stephen M. Smith from Wickford, who's made a load of films, and they all just sort of came along. But between them all, they wanted a little bit more perfection than I was after. You know, this was a stunt. And then we ended up on the first night and we'd shot probably about 55 minutes. And then unfortunately, as happens, we ended up losing some of our cast and having to replace them and reshoot those scenes. So when we got to that stage, we all just kind of thought, you know what, let's just take our time and get it done. But I mean, still, it's really good time. I think it was 7 nights in total. But it wasn't all-nighters. Sometimes we were shooting for two and a half hours. But over 7 nights, we got probably 3 hours of footage that we've now got to, you know, condense down.
So you turn up, set your storyboards out, no doubt. Obviously, everyone's, unless they come in makeup, they'd have to add their makeup, set the lights up. So before you can actually start filming, it's quite a bit of background work to do.
Yeah. I mean, the makeup was probably the biggest. I wouldn't say bane, because the people that did the makeup were fantastic, but to get people back together sometimes months apart and make them look how they looked on July the 15th is incredibly difficult. That was a trial. So it was a big continuity kind of, I would say, disaster, but it didn't turn out to be a disaster. Yeah. It's just everything I controlled that turned out to be a disaster.
Is the film finished now, or are you still making
the film? Is finished.
No,
the film,
final edits to do. No,
we're in the editing process now. It's all done, it's all shot, and you know, even if I do say myself, it looks amazing.
Okay. Now, obviously you need to get Death Walks to the major festivals. Before we touch on the festivals, the question that's probably asked a million times is, how can I see it, how do we get to see Death Walks? But it's not that simple. You need to get it to the film festivals. The major festivals, obviously Cannes, Toronto, Montreal, London, Fright Fest, which we'll come back to, Rain Dance, Venice, Tell me how this works. In particular, Fright Fest, because last August, did you manage to take any clips or highlights to that
festival? We wanted to take some clips to Fright Fest, but because we lost two of our cast, mm-hmm. who were quite prominent.
Are they still in
positions?
Wandering around
in a cupboard. We didn't have anything of any strength to take to Fright Fest, which was a bit sad. But they've stayed in touch. I've stayed in touch with them. They know what's going on. And yeah, we'll be submitting it to Fright Fest this year, and hopefully they will agree to show it. But that is a difficult process. I mean, a lot of people, they'll do one of two things. They'll either send it to a couple of sales agents, sell it cheap, and before you know it, it's come out on DVD, everyone's missed it, and then it's ended up in certain £1 stores. Mm-hmm. Or you put it out on YouTube and try and get it to find its fee, or you put it on something like Amazon and charge people to view it each time. I thought, you know, this is an event, it needs to be seen, so what better way to get it seen than make sure that we get it to all of the 28 major festivals?
Yes, 28 in total, isn't it?
Yeah. We'll go for some of the smaller ones, mm-hmm. but yeah, 28 are the major festivals we're going to submit this film to. We think, hopefully, they will agree to show it on the basis that it's a zero-budget film, and there has been a similar precedent in the past. There was a film 5 years ago called Colin. Mm-hmm.
I remember.
And it cost £40, mm-hmm. and it went to every major festival. So we're hoping that a film that was made for nothing and has some real legends mm-hmm. in it will, you know, go the ground.
Okay. Well, we're going to have a bit of music, and then we're going to come back and talk about kickstarts.
Okay.
Okay, this is Little Mix in the meantime.
You're listening to Sunday Lunch with Tony Smith on Phoenix 98 FM.
Welcome back. Little Mix there, doing really well. And another one that hasn't got any nominations at the Brit Awards. We'll be talking about that after 3 o'clock. Well, meanwhile, we're talking to Spencer and John, film director Spencer and actor John. Now, we were talking about Death Walks, and we've got up to the festivals, but in order to get the film to the festivals, yep. Although the film's made for free, you've still got to have money to be able to launch this to the festivals. Yep. And you can do that several ways. Stick your hand in your pocket or go use the Kickstarter system. It's a website as well, isn't it?
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about how that works.
So if you do something on Kickstarter, Stephen Smith, who I mentioned earlier from Wickford, he's doing something similar at the moment for a film called The Yakin.
And what you do on that, isn't it?
Yeah, Yakin. And what you do is you find something that you think people will want. And I think a lot of people, they want to be part of films. So what we were doing is we were giving away roles like executive producer, associate producer. I say giving away, we were selling roles.
Not like cheese rolls.
No, not like cheese rolls. but yeah, so we were selling these things. Some people just made a donation.
Yeah.
And some people, they wanted the involvement. They wanted that executive producer credit or that associate producer credit because it brings them more to the film. The other thing being is because this film was made by the people, to turn around and ask for funding by the people as well, it kind of makes sense. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's not just because I'm a tight individual. It's because it was a way of keeping it, you know, with the community.
Yeah, and that makes it right. It's not just doing a free film, then having pay yeah. it for yourself. It needs to try and generate its interest, and yeah. it's more fun. And people can get who are putting money in are going to go on the title credits,
yes.
of course.
Yep. They'll get on some of the pledges, that's what they refer to as pledges. You'll get your name in the opening credits or your closing credits, and other pledges, you know, you'll be the first one to see the film, that kind of thing.
The pledges vary from a couple of pounds.
Yep.
There's no limit to the pledges. Now, I take it the great thing about Facebook is that I read that you've hit your amount, which was 2,500.
Yes. Yeah. We needed 2,500 to get the film to 28 festivals. The one thing we can't blag is to get the film in the festivals. You have to pay money, whoever you are. Mm-hmm. You have to pay the money. So We got the 2,500 yesterday lunchtime, probably 1-2 o'clock-ish. And so that was a little moment of elation. I mean, the Kickstarter is still open for 7 days, so there is still the possibility that someone might change their mind. Hopefully they won't. And there's still the opportunity for other people to get in. And one, you know, as I said, some of the perks include getting yourself a role in our next film. So, you know, it's still not too late to get involved from that aspect and still not have your name connected with the film. But we haven't met our target. And so as a result, we will be now able to submit the film to the 28 festivals that I wanted to submit it to.
The goal is to release the film slowly across the globe over 18 months,
yes,
over the festivals. And
yes,
then from the festivals, hopefully the film will make its way out there in some sort of release.
Yes.
2015, is that right?
Yeah, I think if I'm to be honest with you, I think it's more likely to be 2015, although we will be having a premiere in Romford's Premier Cinema. For anybody that's helped us along the way, people like yourselves who've given us airtime, website space, that sort of thing. We're going to get everybody together.
I hope we can have a bit of red carpet as well.
They've already got the red carpet, I think.
We'll have a bit of red carpet.
Yeah,
have to have red carpet.
We do love a bit of. But yeah, and the other thing being is bring some of the cast from. We're going to kind of make an event of it. So we'll have the premiere, we'll have the after party, we're bringing the cast together from No Reasons and Death Walks and maybe Godfathers of London, all together in one location to kind of mix and mingle and see our journey, see how it goes.
I want to talk about the film quickly, just before we go on to move on to the next film. And correct me if I'm wrong. When you're making a horror film, flick, is and you're on a slightly lower budget, you're obviously going back to some of the old style filming where the suspense is the scary part rather than CGI graphics of someone's head exploding, according to my notes, the film's music was done by Tom Wolfe.
Yes.
Polysonic.
Yes.
Did he write all the music for the trailers and the?
Yes, he did. Yep.
Okay. Well, let's pop your headphones on quickly.
Okay.
I want to play a clip. Hopefully this will. Can you hear it, right?
I can.
Hopefully we'll get this out. This is the. Now you have two trailers. I'm going to play the second one. I think it's the second one. Hopefully it'll be the second one.
That's the clean one.
That's the clean one. And you can get this. Obviously, if I've seen the trailer, it's a lot easier. But for the people listening that haven't seen the trailer, but I think the music itself will get the point over. To Romford Shopping Centre. And that last bit is the last thump is where the little cloud comes up and Death Walks.
Yes. Yeah.
Actually, it's done in two different styles because on what the other one it kind of comes up the lines, doesn't
yes.
it?
Yes.
And this one it pops up. Now, if you've just listened to that, the music's quite dramatic. It's very powerful music.
Yes.
I'm just on the clip. You can, if I listen to the clip, even without the visuals, you'd be tempted to go and watch the film.
We hope so.
Tell us a little bit about the music and the, more about us, the Polyphonic.
Tom Wolf is actually my partner's Claire. It's her brother. So that's how we made the connection. And he's had this band, the Polysonic, that have been going around for a little while, and they've been doing really good gigs on different venues. They opened up the Reading, the sort of like the pre-event to the Reading Festival. So yeah, he's been out there, but as soon as I started talking to him about this idea and saying to him about the sort of ideas for the musically, you know, I kept throwing him, you know, things like John Carpenter and a lot of Italian horror soundtracks I kept sending his way. This is what he kind of came up with. And yeah, it's really good. I think it's really, really powerful. It's and some of the stuff that we've not put out there is amazing.
Okay. And did he write all the music for?
Yes, he's written all the music,
including the trailers, because the other trailer has slightly different music.
Yes,
in fact, the two trailers couldn't be further apart, could they?
Yep.
Really?
Yeah, I mean the first trailer, it's kind of slow and people walking around. It's a build up to suspense, and then the second trailer that you've just played is much more about the action and what's going on, and it tells you quite a different story to the first one. And that was a real clear intention, because we wanted to lure people in softly. And then say, hang on a minute, well, this is kind of more what it's about. And yeah, Tom does, as I say, he just does fantastic things. And, you know, the way we'd say to him, oh, if you could put a little bit more boom here, and yeah, okay, I'll do it. And within 20 minutes, he'd done it, and he'd come back with, you know, loads more boom.
Yeah, and it is a skill, trying to get that type of music to for that. I mean, if you see any movie clips of that type, they're always, the music goes with the clip.
Yeah.
The sudden drop-off, I think, though, but yeah. is the dramatic part. Zombies, in general, interesting concept. It's not the first time. In fact, they've made a bit of a comeback over the recent century, I suppose. You've got some of the big blockbusters with Will Smith. Yep. You've got some of the comedy versions that have been out. Also, some of them filmed over here.
Yep.
With that in mind, what made you take the risk of doing a zombie film?
I was absolutely bored to death of zombie films. There's two people that, for me, set the benchmark. One was an Italian called Lucio Fulci, and the other one was Danny Boyle. And I think both of them did something amazing. I know everyone's always going to turn around and say, why didn't I mention Romero? But I think Fulci and Danny Boyle, they did something really, really different with zombies. And I thought, if you're going to do a zombie film, you need to turn that evolutionary wheel one cog more. It needs to do something different. So I think people that watch Death Walks will be in for quite a surprise, whether it's a surprise for good or bad. They'll get in there and they'll get halfway through the film and they'll be thinking to themselves, this is just a normal zombie film. There's nothing special here. And then we do something which personally, and for everybody involved, they said was pretty mind-blowing. We really kind of turned this on its axis. And you won't have seen a zombie film like this before. It's different. It's very, very different.
And in real life, there's been a lot in the news or in the media about some councils actually having procedures for a zombie-like epidemic. Now, presumably they don't mean the zombies as we see it now, but a situation with probably health where people, you know, so that there is. It's not completely fiction in a way, is it?
No. I mean, you know, we're experimenting with a lot of things. We're probably experimenting with a lot of things that we don't need to, and we're probably causing our, you know,
demise,
a lot of damage to the world that we shouldn't be, in the search of knowledge. But, you know, for every good thing, you know, there has to be something equally as unpleasant around there. And who's to say we don't end up, and who's to say it's not already happened and we just don't know about it?
No. You want to see some of the people in the clubs I work?
Been there.
It's all started. How long did it take you to write the script?
About 90 minutes.
That's quite quick.
Yeah, I when I got the idea, I had the idea, it was quite strong in my mind what I'd do, and I sat in the bath one Sunday morning and wrote it on my iPad. And then we did a read through. I tweaked it a little tiny bit. We did a second read through, tweaked it a little bit more, and then we ended up on the final script.
Yeah.
But then something amazing happened, and that amazing was Jesse Williams and Francesca Chiardi, or Chiardi. And when they arrived, we were able to put another little spin on it. So Francesca's role is the wraparound role that kind of fills all the gaps, although she's kind of there all the way through it. But to get this lady out of retirement, she was a real Italian legend, and to bring her out of retirement and manage to persuade her to do this film is just out of this world. And it's brought us a whole bigger audience of fans. And now it's, we've got the film, I should point out, as well as being straight English, there's also probably 30 or 40 lines of Italian, and it's created us a European interest.
Mm-hmm.
So we've kind of created a European film as opposed to a British film, which I think is quite nice.
And John, is it lots of lines to learn? Is it quite straightforward, the script, or is it something you have to read through between each scene?
Well, the script itself, I think, is quite straightforward. However, when you're trying to learn lines, and it's not something I'm not used to, I took it home and I just, because I wanted to be so successful and I didn't want to get it wrong, because when the cameras are on you, you really don't want to mess it up in front of people and you just want to get it right. And I didn't want to let Spencer down here. So I took it home. And I went through it, and I literally spent hours and hours just trying to learn it. Now, I had quite a few... I didn't think I would get as many lines as what I did, due to the fact of my inexperience. But I'm quite grateful, because I took it home, I learnt them all, I made sure that I practiced. And then in the end, I even went in front of the mirror, as you do, just to try to get the facial expressions right. And in the end, I actually didn't have a problem with the lines. I actually, when it came to it, I was quite good. Normally, I've got a really bad memory, so I was quite impressed with myself, to be honest.
And, of course, I forget that. I've been rubbish at learning lines, but it's not just the lines. You have to remember, you just hit on the point that you have to remember, it's not like doing a stand-up talk. You've got to reproduce lines whilst imitating fear, or it's the old dancing and singing, doing two things at once.
Well, you've got to get the facial expressions right, and you've got to try to think of the lines as well. But when you practice it so much, it's just drilled into your head. So when I was actually acting, I was always one step ahead. And then I remember when I first started actually filming, I was extremely nervous, and then I slightly got better and better and better, and in the end it was just natural. I just went in front of the camera and I did it, and I think that came across when you saw me right from the start to the end. I sort of had a slight improvement, or what's that? That's what they told me anyway,
yeah.
Unless they were lying to me. But it did look good, and I was quite actually pleased with what I did. So.
I think, sorry to cut you there, but I think the thing with John as well is that the audience are going to spend the first portion of the film with John and John alone. And we put a lot of weight on him. For someone that's never acted, we put an awful lot of pressure on him. I think he really, really has pulled it off. I think he's really got that warmth, and he is the person that is being recognised. People see him in the streets and whatever, so they're already taking to him, and the film's not even out there.
And I don't think experience is the, is necessarily... the X factor of a film. There's plenty of singers who then turn to acting and vice versa. It's not a complete art form. People off the street can be pulled into a film and act.
Absolutely. And with Death Walks is an example. 50% of our cast had never acted before, but they really put. They've really put their all into it.
Mm-hmm. We're going to talk about the other films soon, but just obviously Facebook and Twitter we were talking off air about, and also you've got the websites. We're going to touch on those quickly. First of all, I noticed it's come up on Wikipedia.
Yes.
That's a pretty good for starters.
That's amazing. For a film to come up on Wikipedia, it has to have global importance. You know, normally it's the big events. There's a lot of films. There's a lot of films out there, small independent films, that never stand a chance to get a Wikipedia page. And for a really nice young lady from America, contacted me straight away after we reached our target on the Kickstarter. She said, listen, she said, I'm absolutely broke. She said, but what I've been able to do was I've been able to create this Wikipedia page, and I've been able to get it cleared through everybody. Because I'd tried to build one, and it just gets pulled down within minutes. And that's the way Wikipedia is now. You put something out there, and if someone will pull it in minutes, some Wikipedia authority will have that page removed. And for it to be up there and to have been cleared, that's amazing. That will help to build the film globally.
Right. On Twitter, it's at Death Walks.
It is.
Facebook, same again.
Yes.
The Death Walks. And it's, you've got a website as well for this film.
Deathwalks.com.
Deathwalk.com. Okay. We're going to have some adverts, and we'll be back to talk about the other film. We'll probably do that in the second hour, but let's get some adverts out of the way.
You're listening to Sunday Lunch with Tony Smith on Phoenix 98 FM.
Welcome back, Spencer and John. Now, we was talking about the film Death Walks. We've finished on that one now, so you've got a new film out at the moment. Oh, well, you're making it at the moment. This one's totally different. It's called No Reasons. I'm going to read it out. A stark, disturbing drama about a missing child and a terrible secret from yourself and Lucinda Rhodes. Is that correct?
Yep.
Tell me a bit about this film.
It's a million miles away from Death Walks. It's the story of a couple after their daughters disappeared, and the sort of the effect that it has losing a child, and how, you know, the sort of just trying to pick up the pieces of your life and put things back together again. That's kind of the main story, but then about halfway through, the missing child returns, and that's when some fairly unpleasant secrets come to light, and that's where, a bit like Death Walks, the story changes quite considerably halfway through. But we've got some lovely names attached to the project. Daniel Peacock, who people will remember from Only Fools and Horses, and Teenage Health Freak, Jewel of the Nile, Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves, and then we've got Emily Lloyd, who is probably best known as playing a young version of Cynthia Payne in a film called Wish You Were Here. And yeah, both of them in it, as well as people like John to the left of me and some of the other cast from Death Walks, who are getting a bit of a makeover. The idea being is, if they came from Death Walks, we do something completely different with them. We completely transform them. Lucinda, bless her, she's not going to look anything, you know, everyone, they talk about Lucinda, oh, she's so beautiful, blah, blah, blah. We're going to literally drag her through a hedge backwards.
Mind you, everyone's been on films more than once. I mean, it's not that unusual, is it? As an actor, you'll be getting used to playing multiple parts.
No, but unfortunately, Lucinda, being the sort of person she is, it's a fairly... I wouldn't say she's typecast, but she's always the glamorous addition to the film. And, yeah, so we're going to de-glamour her completely. And I have a sneaking feeling that's probably the first time she's done that on film.
Where's this film being shot? Is it, from the, not the clips, but the pictures I've seen, it looks like it's an outdoor, woody type of area?
I'm from Brentwood, so I'm bringing it to Brentwood. We're gonna shoot in Brentwood, and we've got a couple of scenes that we're shooting in Romford and Hornchurch.
So this is going to be a multi-location film.
Yep, but the majority of the film will be shot here in Brentwood. Very, very important to me that, you know, we kind of make this, you know, Ryan, who's just done Welcome to Essex, you know, he's bought a precedence. Let's start making films in Brentwood. So here I am jumping on his high horse. And yeah, our next film is going to be shot throughout most of Brentwood, including some woody areas.
What's I don't want to give too much away on the film. When I say the woody areas, it because you it kind of gives a little bit of what's happening on the film, the missing child, etc. But what's is it something you're going to be filming like, similar to the last film in quite quickly, like the one day or over 7 days, or is it spread a little bit longer, this film?
We're shooting over 14 days.
Right.
14 consecutive days. And yeah, so there's a lot of it. I won't lie, there's going to be quite a lot of internal shots because it's, you know, it's one of those films. It's very drama driven, certainly for the first half. But yeah, we're going to be transforming some locations that people are familiar with in Brentwood. I've got to keep fairly tight-lipped about that at this point in time until the day.
Is also zero budget, is it?
No. We've got Death Walks has been a gift in many ways. Not only has it helped to launch the careers of some of the people that are involved, or those that had kind of fallen from the industry, that sort of picked them back up. This is bringing it allowed us to get funding for two films, so much interest. I mean, we had, off the back of Death Walks had been around for maybe 5 or 6 weeks, and between magazines, newspapers, internet, we'd had nearly £750,000 worth of, you know, free PR pushing the film. And this is the sort of thing that people investing in film want to invest in. You know, if I can do that for Death Walks, my second film will presumably get a little bit more attention.
Are you still casting?
We are. We actually, technically speaking, we don't begin casting until this week.
Okay.
So Lucinda, the other part of Hawk and Rhodes, she is going to take on the responsibility of finding. I came in with a few key people that I wanted to include in the film, and Lucinda is going to go through the casting, and we're going to start looking at auditions over the next few weeks. A bit like Death Walks, we're bringing some known names, and then we're casting people from Brentwood and Romford, etc., that have never done anything before.
I was going to ask, do you audition? Do people come in and, like you say, you know, do they read out some scripts, or how do you go around?
No reasons, because it is such a powerful conversational film, as in conversation between the characters. It's very important that the characters are realistic, so we're going to really, really focus on the performances. Whereas with Death Walks, when you've got some unspeakable terror, you can kind of cover a lot. This is really, really important. This is very, very actor driven. So yes, we are going to audition people, probably for a few weeks, but we've got some nice names that I can't mention just yet, but I will make sure I let you know as soon as we've got some really good names to this one.
Script completely written, or
completely written,
storyboards already
completely written, all done. It's we're just ready. First production meeting is this week, as well as the casting, so it's time to start getting the camera crew familiar with what they're doing, and you know that we've got a guy called Thibaut who's going to be our first AD, and Victoria, I can't pronounce her surname, she's going to be doing all of the organisational stuff. And if I'm to be honest, Death Walks, the biggest issue was I was trying to do everything. Now, it's all kind of farmed out to different people, you know, to do different roles. So it'll be much better organised. Anybody that has been involved in Death Walks, and there are quite a lot of them that are probably listening today, it will be much better organised, and it will, as I said, be much more powerful.
Yeah, you've moved away from the fiction to, as you say, more factual.
Yes.
In this day and age, unfortunately, a missing child is not that uncommon, so it's a highly sensitive area.
Yes.
Did you have to do a lot of research to ensure the accuracy, or is it?
Ultimately, this is a work of fiction, but it was loosely based on an incident that I read about 2 years ago up in Manchester, and I read it and I just thought, this is awful, this is a really, really horrific tale, and yeah, I'm not gonna lie, it's influenced me. The film isn't entirely based on that, but it is loosely based on the idea, and then of course in a typical Spencer style I've added to that and I've made it even more shocking. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, as I said, the first half is very, very drama, very, very dramatic, introduction to the characters, introduction to my colleague here, John, who is a complete contrast to Death Walks, which will be nice for him.
I
don't really know what to say without saying too much.
Yeah, don't give too much away.
If that makes sense.
Because I'm looking forward to seeing both the movies. Have you got a completion date for this film?
The idea being is hopefully we're going to be jumping on the back of Death Walks. So while Death Walks will hopefully get to Cannes this year, by the later festivals of the year, we're hoping to be able to submit the two films. So they're kind of, two for one deal almost. And that allows us to, I think an important part of going to a film festival is that the people that make the films go. So I think being able to submit some of these films to the same festivals gives us more opportunity to represent them better. But yeah, the shooting will finish by early March, and you're probably looking 3 to 4 months of editing. So sort of September, October, it'll be ready to start submitting out there.
And how do you find your cast members? Did you put adverts out? I suppose a lot of people who are more the first time actors who want to get it on your CV, you know, you could want to have their names in credits going up on the silver screen. So I suppose in that way it's easy to get people involved, but how do they find out about this, the film, and how do you have to advertise these parts?
No Reasons, for example, is being the cast positions are being advertised on websites like Spotlight, Star Now, Casting Call, so it's out there. That's how the majority of people come to us, but then other people we just go out there and we target. John, for example, we targeted John because we just loved what he was doing with
Death
Walks.
But you couldn't believe it, John, when someone came up to us.
I was so chuffed, and I am still, and I just want to say thank you to Spencer for actually putting me in Death Walks originally, and obviously for this next project, because I actually love it. I actually like getting in front of a camera, and I feel natural at actually doing it. So I can't wait to work onto the next project, but sometimes I just see, I do get approached sometimes, which is quite strange. Yeah, no, I do, because I didn't think that I'll be in work and then I'll be working on a film and doing this and that and being in front of a camera and then being on this radio station now and just doing general bits and pieces. It's great. Mm. It's great. I actually love it.
And it's not completely unknown for people. Models and also other actors have been, I've heard of our film directors being in the airports and then just seeing someone and thinking, that looks like the face I need for this film. And then just suddenly they're in a movie.
Yep.
Quite a few people and quite a few models and also people in music who've been busking, let alone the talent shows, but who've actually just, been seen, in busking on the end of the street and suddenly become famous. Also, a lot of obviously YouTube and things have made stars of people, so it's not uncommon for that to happen in nowadays. But still, a fantastic story to be tapped on the shoulder, and then next thing you're in a full feature film, and now you're in a second film coming up, which is fantastic. Really, really, really exciting. How do other people, if they want to get involved and they're listening and they think, this is something I'd like to do, the best ways to go to
you can ha- sorry We've got a Facebook page, Hawk and Rhodes.
Yep.
We've also got a Facebook page, No Reasons Movie. I won't lie, we're not so hot on Twitter on No Reasons yet, just because of the slow build up and the process. And
has got Twitter. It's got a Twitter account, hasn't it?
It has, yes. But I'm finding it very, very difficult to catch up with all the other Twitter accounts. So it's kind of fallen by the wayside.
It's a full-time job, not a tweet.
Yeah, it is. But we generally tend to find people are able to submit
give
more.
Give them one each. That's what you should do.
Well, we have, yeah, to a degree. I mean, yeah, Lucinda does a bit. I do a bit. Just absolutely mental. But yeah, Facebook is better because it allows people to submit more, you know, whereas with Twitter you're kind of doing it into whatever it is, 136 characters or something, whereas Facebook you can tell us more, you're more in contact with us, we can put stuff backwards and forwards, people can let us see their videos, their CVs, they can attach files and all sorts of things. So Facebook worked better for that for us.
And following Death Waltz, will you be following the same path, festivals?
Yes.
And then trying to get it on to be distributed through the festivals.
Yep.
Will it kickstarting or system, or will you fund it differently?
I think this will go out a slightly different way. It will see festivals, hopefully, but we've kind of already got the distribution sewn up.
Okay.
As part of the funding arrangement, this and our next film, I think we've got our route to market for the next one.
And you've also got your sights on your next film. We were talking briefly off air. Something completely different.
Yeah, yeah. People keep telling me that I'm, especially after they got the script for No Reasons, they kept telling me I was a little bit wrong. And can't you do something nice? Can't you do something cheerful? So a conversation with Francesca, and I said to her, just in an off-the-cuff comment, I said to her, how do you feel about playing an old-age pensioner gangster over from Sicily? And it kind of rolled from there. She was up for the idea, and a lot of other people were up for the idea. And we've been to some names that I wouldn't even have thought would have entertained the idea. For example, Tom Baker and Louise Jameson, who played his assistant when he was in Doctor Who.
Tom Baker is Doctor Who.
Doctor Who.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. Louise Jameson used to play Leela, who was the pin-up girl for most men in the 1970s.
Yeah.
We've approached them. Franco Nero, who was the original Django, and has been in films like Die Hard 2. We've got Bill Treacher, the guy that played Arthur Fowler in EastEnders.
Yeah, wow.
Straight
from the allotment?
Yeah, yeah, pretty much. Some of these people, you haven't seen them for a long time. George Cole.
Yeah.
Some of them aren't...
There's one on the clip on one of the things. I remember him from Party Party.
Yep.
The old top on, top off clip. Do you remember that?
Yeah, absolutely.
And I thought that's a blast from the past. I remember because you could only get the film on VHS at the time.
Yep. Yeah, yeah. But no, to get all these people, it's just been amazing to turn around and just pitch this idea. So basically, the story is two street gangs, young street gangs, fighting for turf. And one of them falls foul of there's two sides, an Italian side and an English side. That's how I was, because I went for a lot of big Italian stars from the 70s and 80s, and as I said, they fight for turf, and they somehow manage to get their grandparents involved, and grandparents who were gangsters in the 1970s and 80s they are far more ruthless, even with their Zimmer frames and their wheelchairs, than our kids with their guns. And that was kind of the idea behind it, just do something completely out there. A little bit like Cockneys versus Zombies or the Red films.
Have you got a title for the film?
It's called Godfathers of London.
Great stuff.
And although it's Godfathers of London, it will be shot within Brentwood, Hornchurch, Romford, sneaking into Ilford. We'll just sort of touch around the edges of London. But yeah, no, that's the plan there.
Sounds exciting. Great to talk about three fantastic British films. Thanks for joining us in the studio, Spencer.
Thank you very much.
And
thank
John.
You.
Before we go, let's just run through all these contact names. Because on Facebook, you've got Death Walks.
Yes, we have.
No Reasons is also on there.
Yes.
You can find them on Twitter. Not as much information on Twitter. Again, just under the names of the films.
Yes.
Death Walks and No Reasons. And yourself on Twitter anyway.
Yeah, I'm Spencer_Hawken. I have got a couple of accounts on there, but one of them I lost the password 4 years ago. But yeah, Spencer_Hawken.
And there's a few bits knocking around on YouTube as well. If you go on YouTube, you'll find... Well, I mean, I know that the trailers are on all the websites, but they're also on YouTube as well.
Yes.
So you can go direct to there. Just type in Death Walks and up it'll come. I shall also put links on the show page blog, which will be ready around about tomorrow, so you'll be able to listen again to the whole interview, the clips, the trailers, and of course all the information to if you possibly want to star in the film. I'll put some of those links on there for you.
Thank you very much.
So Spencer and John, thank you very much for joining us on the show.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Cheers.
Thank you.
You're listening to Sunday Lunch with Tony Smith on Phoenix 98 FM.